Good morning, church family. Good to see you today. If you're visiting with us this morning, it's a joy to have you in the house of the Lord today. Well, I know you probably came this morning expecting to hear a traditional Thanksgiving message. I regret to disappoint you, but that's not where the Lord led me. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 26 this morning. I do appreciate Brother Greg, his emphasis on Thanksgiving, and certainly we need to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's pray together. Father, we bow one more time in your presence before we begin the message this morning. Lord, this is the most important time in the service, a time that and privilege that you've given me to share from your holy word. And Father, I pray you'll help me to be true to the scripture and be true to you, that I'll always speak the truth and nothing but truth. So help me, God. And Father, that you will give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive the engrafted word of God today. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that, Lord, you will be real to us today, that we will experience you in a very personal and real way. And so, Father, as we open your word now and read your word, and I share from this text, I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in us that only you can do. And I thank you for what you will do, whether it's visible or not. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you will say to us through your holy word today. And may we take it and live by it. May we obey it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I addressed the subject of doubt, sharing the cause, the course, and the cure of doubt. Today, I want to flip that coin over. I want us to go totally opposite of doubt. And I want to share with you today about how we as believers need to trust in the Lord. How we need to trust in the Lord. Our text, as I mentioned, will be Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 4. I'll focus primarily on verses 3 and 4. But before I do, and before we read the text, I want to share a little background information with you. You begin reading and studying the book of Isaiah, you discover that in chapter 24, that there Isaiah describes the horrible judgment and desolation that will come on the earth during the great tribulation period. And then when you move into chapter 25, you discover that he describes the Messiah's glorious kingdom on earth. And then when we come to our text today in chapter 26, we discover that this is a song that will be sung by the redeemed when Jesus establishes his earthly kingdom. And so let's begin reading in verse 1 of Isaiah 26. And let me add this, that just as this text is relevant and applicable to those to whom those that will be living during Christ's earthly reign on this earth, so it is relevant to us today. And we should be doing the same thing that God is telling them that they will be doing during that time. So let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So today, as we think about trusting in the Lord, I want to share several things with you from this text. First of all, I want you to notice the command to trust. Look at what he says here in the text. He uses the phrase, because he trusteth in thee, in verse 3. But then he says, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, to put it in simple terms, the word trust here in the original means to have confidence in the Lord. And confidence in the Lord means that one has a feeling and believes that one can rely on God. In other words, that God is trustworthy. One considers God Almighty in heaven to be trustworthy. He is able to be relied on as honest and truthful. Now, the dictionary defines, and I love this definition, the dictionary defines trust as a firm belief, listen to this now, in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And in this particular case, we're referring to how we trust God. We trust Him because He is reliable, because He is truthful, because He does have ability, and because of His strength and His power. And so the Bible commands us to trust in the Lord. Now notice not only the command to trust, but notice the object of our trust in verse 4. Notice what he says here. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting, listen in, everlasting strength. So he says, trust the Lord Jehovah. Now, this is interesting to me, and it's also important to understand the one whom we are to trust. He says the word Jehovah here means the existing one. To be more specific, it means the self-existent or eternal one. And this is the Jewish national name of God. And notice that Jehovah is an English rendering of the Hebrew name for God, represented by four consonants, YHWH, which is pronounced Yahweh. And this form is considered the tetragrammaton. That is an interesting word. The tetragrammaton, which combines the consonants of the Hebrew name with the vowels of the Hebrew word Adonai, which is the word Lord in our English, to create a pronunciation in form or pronounceable form in English. And so he's talking about the one true Yahweh, Jehovah, eternal creator, God of the Bible and of the universe. He's talking about the God of all gods, creator God. So the Lord God is the only one that we can really rely on, no matter what, to be always trustworthy because of who he is. And think about who we're talking about here. Think about this. Think about his attributes. Look, before I move on to those, look at what he says in the verse. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know what that word strength means? In the original language, it means rock. It means block of stone. It means a boulder. So you can say that God is the believer's solid rock. He is our true foundation upon which we build our eternal lives. And so as we think about God and who He is, this Jehovah God in heaven, we must think about His attributes. And I think about, first of all, how He is omnipotent. That means that God is all powerful. He has infinite power. He is omniscient. That is, he has infinite knowledge. He knows all things. Did you know the Bible says, and it teaches us, that God knows everything. He even knows what we need before we even pray. Listen to this text in Matthew 6, 25 through 32. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Do not worry. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether withal shall we be clothed? Watch this. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so God is so knowledgeable. He knows everything about you and me. He knows everything about everyone on the face of this earth. The Bible says he even knows the number of hairs on our head. That's how much knowledge God has. His knowledge is infinite. It is unlimited. Unlimited. And then I think about his omnipresence. What does that mean? That means that God is everywhere. You can't escape the presence of God. He is ever present in every circumstance. No matter where you are or what you're going through, God is omnipresent. And then the Bible says another attribute is love. The Bible says that he is love in 1 John 4:8. God is love. And because he is love, listen to this. We're talking about how we need to trust God. Why should we trust him? Because of who he is. Because of the kind of God that he is. And so we trust him because he's love and he cares. He's interested in you and he's interested in me. Every one of God's children is an object of his concern and attention. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. The God that we're talking about, almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-loving God, he cares about you. He cares about me. Matthew 7:7-11, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so God, out of his love, he gives. That's the kind of God that he is. Therefore, we can trust him. And we should trust him. I think about another attribute. That is his mercy. God is merciful. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. And then I think about how he's so compassionate. Lamentations 3:22-23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Again, another reason why we should trust the Lord. He's holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you understand that this attribute alone tells us that God, listen, he can't do anything but good. God is good and he's just and he's proper. He cannot mistreat you. God would not mistreat you. God always wants what is best for you and for me. The Bible says that he takes all of our bad circumstances and works them out for good to those who love him. Listen to this. In the book of James, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. That speaks of the immutability of God. God is immutable. You say, what does that mean? That means that God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you see the goodness of God in the Bible, to those the Bible refers to, you see God being good to mankind in the Bible, God's going to be good to you. He's been good to me. You talk about being thankful. If there's anything we need to be thankful for, it's God's goodness. It's his grace. It's his glory. God has been good. because he can't help but be good. He gave that earthly illustration in those verses I read a few minutes ago, and he said, hey, don't you know that if your earthly father will give you good things, how much more will your heavenly father give you good things? And yet we get down on God and we begin to distrust him when sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers or give us exactly what we want. There are times I believe that God goes beyond and he gives us what we want. But he will always give us what we need. He's promised to meet our needs and he will always meet our needs. That's what he said in that text a moment ago when he said, don't worry about what you're to eat, drink, or wear, because your heavenly Father, he knows what you need before you ever ask. That's the kind of God that he is. God will always do good, do what is good, just, and proper. Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Now get this. God is the rock. He is stable. He is a solid foundation upon which man can build his life and trust his everlasting soul to. He is our rock, and his work is perfect. Perfect. Without blemish. He can't sin. He can never sin because he's holy. He says, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Therefore, how can we ever fail to trust God, Jehovah God? How could we fail to do that? God is good and his word is sure. Psalm 111:7 says, the works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all commandments are sure. That is, they're faithful, firm, established, steadfast, and reliable. So we can stake our eternal soul in this book. I have. I've staked my eternal soul and my eternal destination on the words that are written in this book. And if you're a believer, you have done the same. But God is good, and he is truly worthy of our trust. A third thing I want you to notice from the text, and that is the way of trust. Look at verse 3. We've not only seen the command to trust and the object of trust, but now look at the way of trust in verse 3. He says, watch this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. In other words, those who trust in the Lord, their mind is going to remain on the Lord. Their mind and their heart will be focused on the Lord. Keep your mind and heart stayed on the Lord is what it's saying. It means that a person is entirely focused on God. God is his or her focus, with their thoughts and attention firmly fixed on him, trusting in his guidance and relying on his strength rather than on their own strength, essentially maintaining a constant mental state of reliance and devotion to God. That is the way of trust. That is the way that you and I should trust God every moment of every day. Now, next, number 4, look at the duration of trust. For he says in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord, how long? Forever. Forever. Oh, wow. Then we're not to be wavering in and out of trust. Remember, I read this verse, referred to it last week in the book of James, when the Bible says if you lack wisdom, you need to pray to God and ask him to give you wisdom, for he'll give it liberally. But when you do, you don't waver in your faith, for the man that wavers and doubts, let not him expect that he receive anything of the Lord. And so it says you're to trust in the Lord, or we're to trust in the Lord forever. That means continuously in every circumstance, no matter how good or how bad, we're to trust in him at all times. There should never be a time when you and I as believers are not trusting in the Lord. Now, finally, let me just share a few benefits of trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to glean some things from other verses in the Bible, but think about this, the benefits of trusting in the Lord. Number 1, one will experience God's great goodness and blessings. Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." God's grace, listen, His great goodness and His blessings are ours to enjoy. Secondly, we will experience God's mercy. Listen at Psalm 32:10. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." And then number three, one will experience stability and strength. In Psalm 125:1, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Did you hear that? Talking about the stability and strength we will obtain when we trust God. "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." In other words, they'll be stable and strong. And then number four, one will experience security. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." He shall be safe. And then that very familiar text that I love, Proverbs 3:5-6, "One will find direction and success. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's the promise of God. And then finally, one will have perfect peace. If we get back into our text, one will have perfect peace. For he says there in the verse, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." People who trust in the Lord enjoy perfect peace. You know what that means? That perfect peace means inner tranquility. Inner tranquility. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't experience that kind of peace. There are times when things happen in my life that upset me, and I have to really stop and think who I am and who Jesus is in my life. It could be a physical issue, physical problem you have. It could be something going on in your family with a loved one. All kinds of things can come against us and come to us in our life that can disrupt that peace that Paul described in the book of Philippians as passing all human understanding. But I have watched through the years those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have suffered so many devastating things in their life, and yet they've got that inner tranquility that can only be explained by knowing what the Word says. That inner tranquility that encourages believers to continue trusting the Lord, because He is the believer's firm rock and solid foundation, and He is eternal. In closing, I ask you the question, are you trusting the Lord? You may be here today, or you may be watching today, and God has you in a situation right now that has turned your cart upside down. And you're fretting over what to do. The only thing you can do is trust the Lord. He is worthy of our trust, and He is worthy of our praise. We need to trust Him, not doubt Him, but trust the Lord. If you're not trusting Him, your life will never be complete without Him. You may be here today, or you may be watching today, and you've never been saved. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You don't have Him in your heart and in your life. No wonder you're fretting. No wonder you're frantic. No wonder you don't know what to do or where to turn. No wonder you don't know. I say to you today, you have one that loves you. You have one that knows you. You have one that wants you to come to Him and trust Him. And the one thing that you need to trust Him with is your soul, your eternal soul and salvation. And commit your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Let Him become your sure foundation, Let him become your solid rock upon which you stand. Let Jesus Christ into your life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:12, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, there are people in the world today that are building their lives on shifting sand, on things that are going to crumble. Their life will crumble with it when their foundation crumbles. But those who build upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock, their life will stand against any storm in life. I want to close by reading you a couple of things. First of all, in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was talking about the final day of judgment in verse 21, and he said, when many who professed him would stand before him and say, Lord, we've done this and we've done that. And he was saying to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then he says down in verses 22 and 23, listen to this. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, we've prophesied. He went through all of that. Excuse me, that's not the verse I wanted to read. Let me see if I can find it here. He goes on to talk about how that one will build his life on shifting sand. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And you could even put that in the context of all kind of trouble that can come to a person's life. Not just a house built on sand, but the house of your life built on something other than the true foundation of Jesus Christ. And he says, and everyone, he said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want to ask you, what are you building your life on? Are you building your life upon Jesus Christ or someone or something else? Believe me, if you're building your life on anything or anyone other than Jesus, your foundation will eventually crumble and your life will crumble with it. That's why Jesus is the only way of eternal life. I want to read you something in closing. This is it. This will close our message. This is an old hymn. It happens to be one of my favorite hymns. We don't sing hymns much anymore, but hymns have an awful and powerful meaning, theology and doctrine. Listen to this old hymn, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Who are you trusting? Are you trusting yourself? Are you trusting someone else? Or are you trusting Jesus, the solid rock?